test, 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 test. Is this Lindsay's? Testing.
Check, 1, 2. No, I think I'm on mine now. I'm on mine now.
Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. This is the day he has made. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. And this is
unfailing love, longer than mountains, deeper than oceans, reaches to me, unfailing love, stronger than mountains, deeper than oceans, this reaches to me. Father, we thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We're thankful, Lord, O God, for grace, for peace which passes all understanding. We're thankful for your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for favor that brings about transformation in every area of our lives. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. Your word says that you increase in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. Today we ask that that favor that surrounds us as a shield will do something extraordinary for us even now. Be exalted, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Receive our worship and do for us what man cannot do. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.
So.
Yes, Lord, we celebrate you, we worship you, we adore you, we thank you. We know that when we do so, you inhabit our praises. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord? Thank you, Lord, for your favor, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for life. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord? The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. There are benefits, indescribable benefits. God is in his holy mountain. Let everyone worship him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, worship team, thank you so very much. We're glad to have Mama here with us this morning. She fought through to be with us this morning and continue to pray for us. Amen. God bless you. Come.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hey, God day, everyone.
God day.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I do have a cold, so we're fighting it. It needs to go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let us rise and let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for giving us life, giving us your very Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that we are not orphans this morning. We have a Father, a Heavenly Father that loves us, that takes care of us, that provides all that we need. We breathe freely every day, and we don't even think about it. We thank you for the breath of life. Yes. Can you thank him for the breath of life this morning? Father, we bless your holy name. We magnify your holy name. We appreciate you. There are many things you do for us without us asking. Lord, we are thankful. Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. Oh, we bless your holy name. Most of us, we all walked to this church this morning. We woke up, we got out of our beds. We cleaned ourselves, we were able to move around. Lord, we want to bless your holy name. Can you thank him for giving you life and giving you abundant life? Thank you, Lord, for giving me abundant life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many things that others are struggling with, we are not struggling with them. We have a few things, and those few things seem to be overwhelming. But, Lord, you are more than able. Help us to continue to overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. You have given us your overcoming spirit. Let your overcoming spirit overwhelm your people, that whenever they find challenges, they can rise out of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm rising out of every affliction. I'm rising out of every challenge. I am moving forward to what God has for me today. In the mighty name of Jesus, may every one of us step into the now of God. Whatever you have created and made for us today, may we step into it and may we have the joy of the Lord to enjoy every single one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your mercy. It endureth forever. Your mercy is flowing even right now. Even before we ask, the word says your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercies and your faithfulness. Be magnified, O God. Be glorified forever and ever. May you be exalted forever. May our lips continue to praise you. May our hearts continue to serve you. May our hands continue to give glory and honor to you. May our feet continue to preach the gospel. May our mouth testify that God is good. Mm-hmm. Can somebody testify this morning? God is good. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy endureth forever. We thank you, God, for every member of our families, every church family member, every extended family, our pastors, our teachers, our leaders. We commit everyone into your hand. Our congregation, we commit to your hands. Father, you are truly the answer to every need. And we thank you that the answer we need today shall be provided for every family member, for every individual, because you have made a table and prepared it for us to feast before our enemies. We shall have a mighty feast in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of the Lord will satiate us, will saturate our life, and will empower us to accomplish purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray now for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, prosperity too. Father, magnify your name. What you have spoken, let it come to pass. Let it continue to come to pass. You are already manifesting your glory. May your glory continue to be manifested in the lives of your people. As you have promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, continue to fulfill your covenant. In the mighty name of Jesus, covenant is a two-way. You've cut it with us. May we also do what you have called us to do. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. prosperity to her palaces, and that peace may spread to the nations. For out of Abraham shall all nations shall be blessed. May it spread to Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Yugoslavia, Great Britain,
yes,
and all the nations of the earth. May it spread to Spain. There's something you're doing there. Save your people. Draw them to you, Lord.
Yes,
destroy every power of darkness that's flowing in that land.
Amen.
Draw the leadership to you, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let revival come to a place where they have abandoned God and just religious. Draw them to you, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch the nations of the earth. Where someone is calling upon the name of Jesus, save your people.
Amen.
Draw them to you, Lord. For all nations belong to you.
Yes.
You died for all nations. All nations shall pray and give glory to God. All nations shall worship you. Draw the leadership of the nations. Remove evil leaders and put righteous leaders. Draw your people to you, O God. Revive the islands of the seas. May they worship you,
yes,
and give you glory. And Lord, may this service this morning magnify your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Heal, restore, and make whole,
yes,
those that are sick, those that are struggling.
Yes,
encourage them and lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. Draw the backsliders back to you.
Yes.
And those who have gone to look for the quick satisfaction of Lord, draw them back to you.
Amen.
Where they will stay in the covenant.
Amen.
The covenant that lasts forever.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Draw them, O God. Draw your people back to you. Draw them to you, Lord.
Amen.
Let the things of this world not choke us.
Yes.
Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, strengthen families.
Father,
heal relationships. Heal marriages. Touch teenagers. Touch their hearts. While they are going through hormonal changes, let them not derail but come back to Jesus. Jesus was also a teenager and he followed the ways of God. Father, draw our teenagers to you. May they follow you. Draw our young men and young women to you. May they follow you. Those who have secret practices that are not of God, Father, bring deliverance and wholeness.
Amen.
To them. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Draw men and women to you.
Yes,
draw husbands and wives to you.
Amen.
Draw young men and young women, old, everyone, every age. Draw them to you, Lord, that they will serve the living God. Your coming is coming soon. May we not be caught unawares. Help us with all our weaknesses. For in our weaknesses are you strong. We take your strength for our weakness. Let the weak say, I am strong. Can somebody say if they are strong this morning? Let the poor say, I am rich. We are rich and we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and the power of his resurrection. Let resurrection life flow into dead areas. Those who are encountering dead parts, dead areas, resurrection life. In the mighty name of Jesus, heal their body parts, heal their brains, their cells, bones, blood, every organ. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, strengthen your people, Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are redeemed from every curse. We are redeemed from every failure. We are redeemed from every weakness. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his resurrection. Power of his might. Father, be magnified. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, mercy, and truth. Healing, deliverance, wholeness, prosperity, blessings, and strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the speaker of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who take the word and spread it in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless our tithe and our offering. Let there be more than enough meat in the house.
Yes, Lord.
And let the servants of God have more than enough.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
I want you to understand, you got to build God's house first. Then you have the capacity to build yours. And God blesses both together. Amen? Put the horse before the cart. You put the cart before the horse is going to have arthritis. You say, how? It's going to be bumping against the cart. It's going to be bumping against the cart and hurting itself. Don't do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. No arthritis in this house. Amen. Praise God. Two Fridays ago, which is our prayer meeting night, the Lord led me to lead the saints that were here praying to pray through Psalm 127. There was much to glean from that particular psalm about God building. And when we don't allow God to build, that we build in vain. Last Friday, the Lord led me to lead us in going through Psalm 121. And there God began to reveal to us some very pertinent issues, things that we needed to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and how what you know determines your spiritual, physical, financial, every setting of experience that you have in life. That it's possible to live in a realm in God where circumstances and seasons don't determine what's happening in your life. And I feel led to come back to both of those psalms this morning to help us make a shift. You see, God says certain things and tells us different things, but until you and I begin to say it in agreement as an amen, it doesn't materialize. Nothing materializes in the earth realm until man begins to say what God said. May I say that again? Nothing materializes here in the earth realm until man says what God is saying. When you say what God is saying, then that which was prophetic becomes a manifestation. In other words, nothing shifts until you make a shift that aligns with God. Let me say that again. Nothing shifts here until we make a shift to align with what God is. God is constant. God doesn't change He doesn't flip-flop. He knows exactly where he is. We need to know where he is, align with what he's doing, and then things happen. Until then, nothing happens. You know, one of the reasons why I didn't want to go into ministry that caused me to resist God's calling was because at the time, ministers were very broke. They were very poor. They had nothing. And so they were controlled by people who had something. At that time in Nigeria, if you had a bicycle, just a plain bicycle, you were in the top ranking ministers. A bicycle, not a car, not a motorcycle, just a regular bicycle. And yeah, I came from a well-to-do home. We had businesses. And God is calling me. And he said, "You're calling me to what? To that?" No way. But there came a time when the revelation of prosperity came through the mouths of the men of God. And they shunned the idea of being people who took the oath of poverty. They rejected it. Said, that we don't find that in the Word of God. That is not the truth. And they began to proclaim what the Word of God said. And all of a sudden, it bottomed out. And the church, not just the ministers, the entire church, said, rising. They had received the word of revelation. Women that were selling peanuts at the side of the street were now building homes, mansions, doing business. What changed? What changed was that it came into alignment with what the Word of God said. Once upon a time, the people of God died like flies until the Word of healing came. And we said to believe God heals. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, healing said to take place because we came into alignment with the Word of God. Well, in this church, we don't bury lots of people. Almost 50 years of ministry, I can count in less, I won't complete this hand of the amount of people that I have buried in this church. If I'm right, only about 3. Because you don't come here to die, because we don't believe in that. We believe I am the resurrection and the life. Praise the Lord. Now we say, well, Pastor, aren't you going to be burying somebody this week? Yeah. Person who didn't want to die, but when they saw the other side and saw Jesus, they said, bye, please, you guys, get out of here. Because if you don't leave here, I'm not going to die. Get out of here. Leave. The Word of God works. But we need to align ourselves with the Word of God. There is nothing. May I say that again? There is absolutely nothing that cannot be changed when we change to align with the Word of God. When we change to align with the Word of God, everything changes. Your circumstance doesn't necessarily change, But because you have changed, you live in a realm that is beyond your circumstance. Just like a ship rides the water, just like a plane takes off and flies, so also you begin to break the laws that keep you down when you come into alignment. When you come into the alignment with the laws of lift, you break the law of gravity. Gravity is still there. Gravity, the law of gravity doesn't need to cease to exist. It's still there. But you've broken it by superseding it with the laws of lift. And all of a sudden, you're flying. Your circumstance doesn't need to change for things to change for you. All that needs to happen is that you come into alignment. Someone say alignment. I need to be in alignment. When your vehicle is not, your tires are not in alignment, they wobble and they wear out unevenly. When we are not in alignment, we wear out and we wobble. We're not straight. When we come into alignment, things fall into proper order. Somebody shout hallelujah. Change of seasons. And living a life without the control of seasons is a matter of alignment. In Psalm 121, the psalmist starts out, and he starts out this way. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And for most people, when they read that, they misunderstand. They think he's saying, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills because that's where my help comes from. But in reality, what he's saying is, and the reason we make that mistake is because of that comma right there. He's saying, he starts out, I'm going to lift up my eyes onto those hills. You see, those hills were where they had their high places. The Bible talks about high places. They had altars there. People went up there because they thought that is how they were going to reach out to God. They're closer to God now. Well, we should all go to the moon. We'll be closer. But then he stops and he says, wait a minute. That's the tradition. But really, from whence does my help come? Where, is my help coming from there? And he makes this shift that gets him to be in alignment. He says, oh, wait a minute, my help cometh from the Lord. It doesn't come from those hills. It comes from the Lord. Which Lord? The one who made the heavens and the earth. Now, wait. Now. He's saying, my God is bigger than whatever it is that you're doing up there in those hills. He's the God of the heavens and he's the God of the earth. He's God everywhere. That's where my help comes from. It's not limited to what I can see. My help comes from the Lord. And when he makes that shift, heaven begins to speak. The angels begin to speak. higher powers begin to speak. And what are they saying? They're saying, now that you get the point that your help doesn't come from those hills, but from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, from now on, you will begin to experience this. He says, he will not suffer. This God that you now know, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he will not suffer. He will not allow your foot to be moved. In other words, he's going to keep you secure, stable, unmovable. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I want you to know from this point on, now that you know that your help is not from those hills, but from the creator of the heavens and the earth, you have a God who doesn't sleep, who is watching over you. You need not worry and be concerned about what or who is doing whatever. You need not concern yourself about that, because I don't sleep. I'm watching over you. I'm watching over you. I see you. I locate you. I know exactly where you are. And I have a better perspective to everything concerning you. I don't sleep. He goes on and says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now that you know that I am the Lord, the maker, the creator of the heavens and the earth, not just those hills. I want you to know that you're covered. I don't doze off. I don't sleep. Now, that must not just be words to you and I, because those could just be words. But it has to have structure, life to it, for you to know. If God is watching over me, I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry about how my retirement days are going to be. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have enough for my education. I don't need to worry about whether I am going to stay strong and healthy. I don't need to worry about my finances. I don't need to worry about, because God is watching over me so that I don't stumble. Huh? Praise the Lord. Did you see that? He's watching over me so that I don't stumble. He's the lamp. He's the light. He's all that I will ever need this day, tomorrow, or forever. Did you know that trouble is coming? That there is going to be famine? There's going to be drought? There's going to be financial whatever? And the economy is going to collapse. Oh, there are missiles coming our way. We're all going to die. I don't have to worry about any of that. Do you think for one moment that worrying about anything fixes it? Why do we spend our times worrying? God says, I'm not a warrior, because I know exactly what's going on and I can deal with it. Glory be to God. Is somebody listening? I don't sleep. I don't nod off. Every single moment is clear before me. So what happens when I get into a messy situation and it looks like trouble is staring me at the face? He says, I will be your present help in the time of trouble. Is that what he says? the present help. So what does that mean? You got a helper. Yes, trouble sometimes comes, but God overrides it when you're in alignment. From Sunday to the next Sunday, you don't know how many troubles I see. You're clueless. Most of us come to church. We hear a good message. We go home. We do whatever. And you don't know what happens in between. Time to time in the church, how the lights stay on, how the water is on, how whatever is, you have no clue. If you knew all the issues that many times I have to deal with, you say, why, how is it that you're walking? You should go into a fetal state and just I'm reminded about a story I read about. This mother goes to the son and says, "Son, get up. We have to go to church." He says, "I'm not going to church." "Come on, you have to go to church." "I've got too many issues." "You have to go to church." "Why?" "Because you're the pastor." "Pastor quit." Oh my. If you knew how many times pastors want to quit. When you see your pastor standing in front of you preaching the word of God and they are happy campers, don't assume anything. Just recognize that just maybe that man of God recognizes that he's got a God who doesn't slumber nor sleep. I don't know your story, what challenges you face at your workplace, at your home, and with relationships, the people that like you, don't like you. You know, I used to have a boss while I was working in Nigeria. This car company, man, that guy terrorized me. When I'm going to work, my heart was beating so fast because this guy was after me. The guy who was my boss before him loved me. He thought that I was the best thing that's ever happened in the planet. And he retired or something, and this guy comes and says, "Hey, I'm going to show you." This guy terrorized me. So I don't know what kind of bosses you have. Because I do know you can have a boss that terrorizes you and makes life just a living hell. I don't know. I don't know what your marriage is like. I don't know what kind of children you've got, because you can have a child and you think this child was the father is the devil. They create all kinds of problems. They scare you witless. I don't know. But what I do know is this, that no matter what your situation is, there is a God who is bigger than your problem. Amen? That's what I know. That I can tell you very clearly. God is bigger than any problem you can throw at him is bigger. And he can solve it. So you don't need to worry. You don't need to pull your hair out. There are people, they're just there and their hair is falling off. Just falling off. Because they're living in a very stressful situation. You can be in a very stressful situation and have rest in God. Somebody listening. Because you have a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. It says the Lord will not only do that, he will be the shade upon your right hand. He's going to be shade upon that right hand. What does that mean? Your right hand is a right hand of authority, the right hand of blessing, the right hand of power. He says it's going to be shade. A shade cools down things. He says, he's going to be your keeper and he's going to be the shade upon that right hand. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, the blessing in your life will not become a problem to you. Hallelujah. The blessing on your life will not become a problem. I'm going to shade. I'm going to protect the blessing on your life. I'm going to protect your going out and your coming in. And so the sun is not going to smite you by day, nor the moon by night. You're not going to have heat stroke. And you're not going to become a lunatic. You're not going to go crazy because I am your keeper. Hallelujah. The maker of the heavens and the earth. When I come into alignment to that, and not just the hills, then I know something else. You know, God says something like, the 1,000 oxen, sheep, whatever, on the hills, they are mine. And basically what he's saying is, listen, I want to do for you more than what you can do in a spiritual, traditional way and just live life as it is. I want to take you beyond what is to the place of the beyond. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There are blessings that you and I can experience and walk in that is normal. But God is saying, when you understand that I am the creator of the heavens and the earth, I'll take you past the beyond. I will take you past the normal. Praise God. I want to take you past the normal. And when the Bible talks about the sun and the moon, we've got to understand that the Word of God talks about the sun and moon being placed in place for times and for seasons. Do you understand? Sun and moon, they're for seasons. Especially the Bible says in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 104, it talks about the moon is set there for seasons. That's why it's there. Psalm 104 and verse 19. He says, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. The sun is set in motion and it knows when it needs to go down, when it needs to come up. The moon is there for seasons. Now, that is what is normal. But God, who says that there's seed time and harvest time in Genesis 8, watch this. Please don't let me lose you here. I need you to stay in line with what we're talking about here, because we are trying to make a shift. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, he says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That is the normal. But here comes God, and he says, when you get to this point, when you understand that I am the creator of the heavens and the earth, I'll take you into another realm, beyond the earth realm, where the sun does not smite you, nor the moon. In other words, you are no longer controlled by whatever the sun does or the moon does. You are not going to be walking out there and suffering from skin cancer, or out there and the moon is full moon and you go crazy, become lunatic, and the waves are all over the place, troubling. None of that. Because it doesn't matter whether that is happening, whether there is a storm happening. When I know who I am, remember, Jesus sent the multitudes away, sent his disciples to go out to the other side. And that's key. Go to the other side. And what does he do? After he sends everybody away, he goes up to the mountain and he begins to pray. Spends time praying. He's aligning himself. I have nothing to do with the natural. I've sent the natural people away. Even my system, the disciples that I work with, I've sent them away. Now it's now between me and God. And what does he do? He walks on the water. When is he walking on the water? He's walking on the water when the waters have been troubled. Without a boat, without a sheep, without a canoe, no kayak, nothing. He's walking. Because he's saying, hey, when you come into alignment with what the Father's will is, you do not have any more attachment with the natural. Because now, this is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Was God with the natural? Absolutely. But God is saying, I want to do something beyond the natural. I want to take you to the supernatural. And in the supernatural, there is no winter, there is no summer, there is no fall, there is no spring, there is no sun. Hello? Do you think when you get to heaven, there's going to be sun there? In the new heavens and the new, there's no sun. Because God wants to take you and I into a season that is seasonless. Hallelujah. No more limited to what is happening in the economy. This is the economy. The interest rates are up. It doesn't matter. Gasoline is $20 a liter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Not when you can drive your car on empty all week long. Because you are in alignment with what God is saying. How did you go to school? How do you know? In that car. So why can't you go to? Because I don't have gas. And I don't have any money to buy gas. But how normal do you go? Then get into that car and go to school. And I drove all the way from EK here all the way to Otterburn in the winter on empty. all week long. The same card I filled every other day. Because it just drank the gas. Now it's on empty. And I still have to go to school. And when I came into alignment with the Word of God, to school I went. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on empty. Alignment. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you are in alignment and it said, you cannot buy or sell. That means you cannot eat. Oh, forget. The devil's a liar. Because we don't depend on that. Well, there's a time when you have to go to the store to go buy this and go buy. But when you cannot, then what? You're going to take the mark of the beast? Or you can convince yourself that you're not going to be here. That'd be good if we're not, nobody's here. We're all gone. Praise the Lord. But what if you are still here? Then what? Well, I guess Jesus didn't come. I don't think this is working. Because the pastor said that the Antichrist is not going to be here because we're going to be all raptured the way out of here, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Listen. I can go into that Bible right there and show to you that we might be gone before the tribulation. I can go into that Bible and still prove that you can go in between. And then I can go there and show you that it is possible that we can go after. Why? Because God doesn't want to give the devil any time period. He's not going to give the devil, oh, I'm going to come June the 15th. On June the 14th, the devil at 11:59 p.m., just before it turns to June the 15th, he says, I repent. No, he's not going to give the devil that chance. Is somebody listening? So, you don't know when he's going to come. In fact, he said in one passage, he said because of the kind of problems facing the people, he says he's going to cut the days short. So he could cut it short. So why is he cutting it short? Maybe it's because you were going through something. All right, we'll be gone. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, whether you're gone or not gone, the Lord, your maker, when you are aligned with him, he says, I'm going to protect you. I'm your keeper. In life, in death, I'm your keeper. Rest in my loving kindness and in my tender mercies. And know that I am God in your life. And the sun is not going to smite you. And the moon is not going to smite you. What I've created is not going to harm you. Praise the Lord. No weapons fashioned against you will prosper. And before he talks about no weapons, in Isaiah 54, verse 16, says this. Watch this. He says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. I created that. And that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I created that smith who works with the fire, creates this weapon or equipment. He says, and I have created the waster to destroy. I even created the waster who destroys. I created all that. But no weapon. Even though I created the people that did what? No weapon. Listen. You may think that Pastor's lost his marbles. because he's saying something like that. That's crazy. But hear this. You don't need to even be concerned about a nuclear bomb or a dirty bomb. See, the radiation, you see, people many times are concerned about a nuclear bomb. There's going, somebody's going to drop a big bomb and boom, everything is out of here. But be concerned about the dirty bomb. Because the dirty bomb can come into an area in a briefcase. It can be done anywhere, and it will have, it won't blow everybody up, but the molecules and all of the physics and chemistry of whatever it is that that bomb has can pollute you, create cancers, create all kinds of problems for people, and you don't know why you're sick. You just know somebody dropped something somewhere. But this is what I'm saying to you. When you've got the Lord, your keeper, it doesn't matter. So you don't need to be afraid. Oh, somebody carrying a bomb. No, you don't need to be afraid of anything, because God, your keeper, protects you, and he's done it before. They threw three Hebrew boys inside the fiery furnace, and they got burnt up. Yeah? They became like charcoal. No? The people that threw them in got burnt up. The ones that were in it were walking around with a fourth man who doesn't sleep, who doesn't slumber. Are we talking? I'm saying, church, you don't need to be afraid of whatever it is that anybody's planning, because they are planning. But you don't need to concern yourself about what they are doing. What you need to concern yourself about is about seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and seeing everything added to you, that you are multiplied, that you are greatly increased, no matter what's happening in the society, no matter what's happening with the economy, no matter what's happening politically, no matter what's happening anywhere. You are okay, because you've got a God that you know is not just the God of the hills. He's a God who made the heavens and the earth. He's God. Somebody say, I got a big, big God who's always on my side. He's on your side. Why are you afraid? Oh, they're laying people off. So? My God shall supply all of your needs according to your job. Is that what it says? According to what? His what? His riches. So I can testify. I can testify as I stand here about a freezer being filled all year long without me going to the store to go buy meat. I can testify about that. I know God does that because I have lived it. I know about the God who can take you shopping and you go buy a white suit and it was not born or bought in this dimension, because he took you to another dimension. I can talk about that because I lived it. So when I open my mouth here, don't say, oh, he's opening his big mouth again. No, no. This big mouth is declaring the glories of God and testifying of the goodness of God. But we must come to the place where we know that God is not just a God of the hills. He's not located in this place or that place. He's everywhere present. And wherever I am, there he is. Because if I am there, he cannot be anywhere else but there with me. And you need to believe the same thing about yourself. We shall see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. We are not the same like everybody else. The Lord began to speak to me some time back. He said, do you know why there's no manifestation of the sons of God? I said, why? He said, because you're not talking about it. You're not saying that I am the manifestation of the sons of God. He says, until you begin to believe that you are the manifestation of the sons of God, there will be no manifestation of the sons of God, because you keep on pushing things down, down, down. Now you can be everything God says you are, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. The manifestation of the sons of God? Yes. Are you a son of God? Then God says, manifest. Manifest means that you unveil what has been veiled. Oh my God. That's what we did last week, didn't we? Taking the veil off. And you know, as I was getting the word ready for us, the Lord took me back to the same passage, but from the top again. And I said, this passage is very familiar. And then I kept on and talk about the unveiling from Isaiah 25. God wants to take the veil off, because the sons are behind the veil. We are already the sons of God. No, there'll be no regrets in heaven, because God will wipe away the tears. But the reality is that when we finally arrive, we will see that we have lived life below what God has made available for us. Because we are going to see that we are exactly like Him. Well, we did not become exactly like Him when we got there. We're exactly like Him already here. And we are, as we behold Him, recognizing who He is, we change into the same glory. Peter and the rest of them were right there in the Galilee, and the storm is raging and all of that. And the first thought that he was a ghost. And he said, no, I'm not a ghost. It's me. And Peter says, if it is you, tell me to come. And when Jesus said, it's me, come. And he starts walking on water. He started walking on water like Jesus when he had a good perspective, a mind change, an alignment, that Jesus was not a ghost, but that Jesus was really who he is. He'd never seen Jesus walking on water before. But here is Jesus doing something that was not natural. And he believed that he could do the same thing like Jesus. If Jesus said, come. And we need to understand that we will be able to do exactly what he said, because he promised it in John 14. He says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. In essence, you're going to do exactly what is natural to me now, but you're going to even do more than that. Why? Because I go to be with the Father. But what have we done? We've satisfied ourselves with Rababa Shanta Rabu Kosheke Telebra. Oh, you got it, you got it, you got it. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We're satisfied. Does God have more than Rabababa? Yes. Rabababa, that's baby talk. But when you are 20 years old and you can't string a sentence together, and you still blah, 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 blah. Say, you need, this child needs to be in the home. He has a problem. Not be so. I spoke pure Nigerian to you right there. Huh? But you understood what I meant. We need to grow up. Praise the Lord. Every one of us needs to grow up and understand that our God is a big, big God. He cannot be limited. We must take the veil off. We must have the scales fall off of our eyes so that we see clearly the one that we are beholding, so that we can be changed into that same glory. And you know the amazing thing? The Word of God says, we sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So when we repent, are we still short of the glory? It's a real question. If we sin and we fell short, and notice it says fell short. It didn't say we fell out. It says we fell short. So there's still glory in a sinful man. Or else we won't be doing the stuff we are doing. All the breakthroughs that man is experiencing is part of the glory. Now, God wants to take us past whatever man does and beyond. If we fell short of the glory of God, then when we repented and came to Christ, the glory was reinstated. And he's saying, I'm going to take you from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. As you're looking at me, I'll unveil more and more of me inside of you. Hallelujah. You said, Pastor, are we just talking about spiritual things? No, there is nothing that is not spiritual. Help me, somebody. There's nothing that isn't spiritual. Because all of it came out of the Word of God. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Everything. Everything has life to it. But we don't worship it. But it has life. Or else Jesus will not be talking to a tree. Is it Jesus talked to a tree? Yes, he did. For the Word of God says in Mark 11, and he answered it and said, you can't answer something that is not saying something. How can you answer it when it didn't say anything? What was the tree saying in Mark 11? Jesus was hungry and wanted a fig to eat. But when he got there, all he saw was leaves. Religion, systems. And we live in a world where we are thinking, all we think about are systems. You need to work the system. God, yes, works with systems, but he does more than systems. He says, it was not the season for figs. So that was not the season for figs. So it's not my season. I cannot. It's winter. And you're asking me to give you what? That's impossible. He says, since you said it's impossible, you will never know possibility. What is God saying to us? He's saying, You choose what the results are going to be. In Mark 11, it says he was coming from Bethany. 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 And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was what? Hungry. When they were come from Bethany, what's Bethany? Bethany has two meanings. The house of dates or the house of misery. One name. Choose. Is it going to be a house of dates, sweetness, or a house of misery? Choose. And we are in that crossroad right now where we need to make a decision. In that same passage of Scripture, there is an ass that's been tied, never reading. And the Bible says it was in a place where two roads met. Options. Choose. A place where two roads met. Outside the door. A door is a point of exit and entrance. And it had been tied. So even when it had the opportunity to go this way or that way, it got stuck. It was tied. It had no way of exercising the option of going through that door or coming out of it. It saw others do going in and out. It saw others going this road or that road, but it could not do any one of them. But I thank God that we are loose. Hallelujah. We are freed to be able to exercise our options, take up opportunities and work with them, go in and out and find green pasture, John 10 says. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying there's nothing that God and you cannot accomplish when you set your mind to be in alignment with God. You just got to make the decision. God, is that the way we're going? Yes. Then walk on water. Then do the impossible. Tap into the goodness of God and reject every form of frailty. Seasons. That's why he kept Abraham, the one he gave a promise to. He let him and his wife stay barren because he wanted to show to them that it doesn't matter whether you are 70 or 90 or 100, you can still be fruitful. I'm going to take you to a place where seasons don't matter anymore. Praise the Lord. So he says, my youth is renewed. Say, don't forget the benefits of God. Psalm 103. Watch this. Watch this. Watch God. What he's saying to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget all of these benefits. Verse 3, watch this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. First thing, remember, you are forgiven. Now you have access to me. I can hear you. Who healeth some of your diseases. He says, all of thy diseases. Every disease, it doesn't matter what kind it is. He says, it's healable. Verse 4, watch this. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. So you're heading to destruction. I redeem your life from destruction. Oh, that's powerful. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The veil is taken off, and all that you carry now is loving. Everybody's going to love me now. And I'm going to experience tender mercies. Mercy is something that you get when, that you don't deserve. Just mercy, tender mercies. I don't know why I just like you. Here. Huh? But I didn't apply for the job. It's yours. I know you didn't apply for it, but you're hired. What do you mean? I know you didn't apply for this contract. Other people had, but the contract is yours. Tender mercies. Somebody understand it? This is another realm. It's a realm that you and I are called to operate in that has nothing to do with the natural system. It's about the kingdom of God. You mean in my old age I'm still going to flourish? Yes. That's what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Watch verse 5. Who satisfied what? Who satisfied what? With what? With good things. And you think, oh, that means I'm going to have filet mignon. Oh, yes, that's what it is. Nice lobster. No. The God who satisfies your mouth with good things is a God who's placing his word. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. So that what happens? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm going to back up time for you. Oh, somebody help me here. God said, I'm going to back up time. The things that you did not achieve before, you're going to achieve them now. I'm talking to you, child of God, that you are going to achieve more things now than you've ever experienced ever before in your life. Greatness is in you, and that greatness is now being revealed. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is saying to you and I that he has great things in store. In Psalm 92, as I begin the descent, I didn't say I'm landing yet. I'm just coming to land. Psalm 92. Watch what it says in verse 12. I like verse 1. Verse 1 starts out, it says, oh, give thanks. That's part of the good things. It says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. You begin, first of all, just giving God thanks. God, I thank you that you are the God of possibilities. It says, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. And God is wanting to shift us from the belief of what the system say, what is naturally possible, to another realm. It took somebody thinking differently to understand that there was another law called the law of lift. Hello? And the consequence of that change, in spite of the fact that the laws of gravity fought against the system, they kept at it, and they kept at it until they were able to take flight. It wasn't very far, but it was the beginning of one level of glory to another. Yes? You and I might take baby steps, but after a while, you're going to be running. You and I will be running. And we're going to go beyond running and ascending. Praise the Lord. the world shall see the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And it's not related to natural laws. It's superseding it. Do you receive that? Watch this in Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Have you seen palm trees in a storm? They may bend all the way down, but they're coming back up. When other trees are breaking and snapping, the palm tree is just waving through it, weaving through it. That's you. That's me. That's us. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world, we are flourishing. He says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, that is key. We live in a system where people are not planted in the house of God. So many people are jumping from one place to the other. You need to settle down. Find the place that God has called you to and settle. Stay there. Because you know that God has called you to be in that house for a reason. And it doesn't matter whatever it is that's happening, you stay there. Why? Because you get to flourish in the courts of our God. You flourish. It says in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit. When? In old age. You'll be fruitful while you're young. When you get old, you are still being fruitful. That is living in a world and a system that's beyond natural systems. Hallelujah. It says, they shall be fat and flourishing. Look at those words, flourishing, flourishing, flourishing. God is saying, you and I are going to flourish. Do you receive that? Why? Because you're standing uprightly. You're seeking the face of God. You are in alignment with the will of God. And you know that the kingdom of God has come and the will of God is being done in the earth as it is in heaven. You are a child of God, born again of His Spirit, and you know that He is not to be limited to being the God of the high places, the God of the hills. He is the creator of all of it. He says, you do all of that to show that the Lord is upright. The reason why you are experiencing all of this is so that you can show forth. You can brag on God and say, He is my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in Him. Are you in Him? Are you in Him? You sure you're in Him? The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a what? New creature. New creature. Old things, what? Pass away. Behold, all things become new. And we think it's only about my spiritual walk. No, it's about everything. When you are in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? You are a new creature. That is a creature that has never existed before. It's a new, brand new. Never existed before. That's the image that you and I have been created. And God is saying, hey, there's more to you than you think. Just come, align yourself with me, and I'll show you that I'm your keeper. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to do that for my name's sake. Will you trust me with your life? Then let me do something with it. Today, may we receive this word. And may it cause us to experience true transformation. If you receive it, shout hallelujah. Say amen. This is the will of God for my life, and it is now made manifest. I am the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. I've been authorized to rise, shine, for my light, the light of God, has come upon me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we'll stop there this morning. We'll be back tonight to continue to experience what the Word of God is saying to us. Let us not be forgetful hearers. Let us stay reminded of the faithfulness of God. Bow your heads with me. Lord, your word resonates in us. And we say an amen to your word. Help us become everything you say we are. You are our keeper, and you neither slumber nor sleep. Thank you, Father. It is well with our souls. Amen. Praise God. If you do not have the elements of communion, please raise your hand and you'll be served. Some hands behind. Anybody on the front here? I don't see. Their hands in the back. Hallelujah. Some in that row there. At this time, we're going to honor God with our givings, our tithe, our offerings, our commitments or pledges of support for missions. May God speak to you about what He wants you to do as it relates to your commitment to honor Him. He is going to do extraordinary things for us. He's going to use our lives mightily. I'll call on Mama to come. We will take up the body of the Lord. We will eat. We will walk in our divine health, divine prosperity, and we'll step into this God realm that God has ordained for us to walk in. As we walk in it, we will exercise the authority of God that is invested in our lives and override every season so that His name is exalted always and forever. take off this body, eat, and be healed.
My help. My help coming from the Lord.
My help coming from the Lord.
Which make heaven and earth.
Which make heaven and earth.
A God who does not sleep nor slumber.
God who does not sleep nor slumber.
May He heal, restore, and make me whole.
May He heal, restore,
may He provide for me and my household.
My household.
May His blood speak better things.
His blood speak better things.
In my life.
In my life.
Than that of Abel.
Than that of Abel.
So as I take the cup of blessing.
I take the cup of blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take and drink.
Hallelujah. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Please just give us a few more minutes to do some quick things. Firstly, we'll dismiss those that are on Facebook and YouTube.